Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Hope everybody's having a great Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday evening. My name is Braden Gall, filling in for Paul Feinbaum here on the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio, 855-242-7222. 8-5. We're going to talk about the team in the SEC that I think might be the most underrated in the entire conference momentarily. But if you want to chime in on our top four, of course, Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, USC in the Athlon Sports Preseason Magazine, you are welcome to chime in and tell us how wrong we are. Of course, the other topic today on the show, we've got gambling. Of course, run amok. Shockingly, college students like to gamble on stuff like the rest of Americans. And, of course, Georgia, who can actually beat them in a one-game situation? So we'll get back to your calls here momentarily, 855-242-7285. Joining us now, Jerrod Hamilton from PowerMizzou.com, covering the Missouri Tigers. So you can already tell I am very high on this particular team, Jerrod. Welcome to the show. Number one, please help me, convince me that I'm correct here, that Missouri is super, super underrated and that the quarterback play is going to be just fine.
You are correct. I mean, this year, I think I can easily make an argument for them going 8-4. Last year, they could have went 8-4, and that's when you consider, some of the struggles with at quarterback, with the offensive line. They still could have went 8-4 if, they get a kick, a field goal at Auburn to go their way. Something at the Georgia game, versus Georgia. Maybe not getting a false start or some, things that kind of bit themselves in the butt in a way. Those plays don't happen. They still go 8-4. So I think going into the season, especially if it's Brady Cook, him coming back from that shoulder injury, if he's clicking on all cylinders, he's feeling good, and they're starting to make these improvements in the roster and stuff like that, they definitely can do 8-4 for real this year.
I think there's a lot of talk, Jerrod, about Bobby Petrino coming in at A&M and Jimbo Fisher sort of stepping away and letting Bobby Petrino run the offense for Texas A&M, which is obviously critical to their success this year. But Eli Drinkwitz has shown, at least in the past, he was able to fix the defense pretty fast by hiring a new coordinator. And now he's stepping away. I think not nearly as much coverage is made of the fact that he is stepping away from the offense, hired a coordinator to actually run things. Is that the missing ingredient for this offense?
It's one of them. I mean, Kirby Moore coming over from Fresno State, I mean, he did his thing when he was at Fresno State. Jake Haener, he just went in the draft to the Saints, who was their quarterback, threw for almost 3,000 yards, 20 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. And what he does is something, a spread-like offense that's similar to what Drink wants to do here at Missouri. Obviously, some things like the pieces in play have to kind of work with the players and stuff. But even when Bush Hamden was here as the quarterback's coach and when he kind of took over play calling duties later in the season, you can kind of see what Drink was talking about as far as what he wanted, as far as them getting more points up there, just being more efficient, getting down the field and things like that. And they think Kirby Moore can do that. And so when he got introduced in January, I don't have it in front of me, but Drink said something along the lines of, we're gonna give Kirby the ingredients and stuff like that, and it's his job to make something out of it. So kind of like what you said, he's kind of stepping aside, and he's going to be it's more of a CEO type of thing, and he's going to let Kirby do his thing, Baker do his thing on defense, and then we're going to see what happens from there.
Jerrod Hamilton joining us here, PowerMizzou.com, covering the Missouri Tigers. Defensively and sort of the schedule, you look at this team, and they're going to be in so many different games because there's so many 50-50 games on the schedule. What would the fan base do? I mean, I know 6-6 has been where he's at, but what are the fans expecting? Are they – this is not exactly the same type of fan base as Alabama or LSU, let's call it, but I think they're not happy with 6-6, right?
Nah, the 6-6 thing, especially when you've done it three, or well, I guess in 2020 it was 5-5, but basically going 500 three seasons in a row, yeah. That's not really gonna, you know, cut it for this fan base. They're trying to see progress, and Drink says progress isn't always linear, and there's some truth to that. Even 7-5, I mean, would be something I think fans can get behind. But an 8-4 season, and when you look at the schedule and some of these games, even where you think it's, I don't know, they get just a couple of those games and they get to 8-4, you know, they're really cooking with something. So I think they're really in between, like 6-6 has to be the bottom, and that has to be kind of like last year where maybe we just get some wacky losses that just, you know, it just didn't go their way. But they're thinking 7-5 is probably, you know, they'll take it. But 8-4, I know there's a lot of people who think 8-4 is something that's very much something they can do.
You look at these permanent crossovers potentially. Obviously, mm-hmm. Oklahoma and Arkansas make a whole lot of sense. Vanderbilt's in there as well. If you just gave the fan base their pick, their choice, who would the fans want to play every year in the new schedule?
I mean, I just kind of did a series of articles on this about who the three would be. A lot of them obviously have Arkansas in there because that just works for everybody. It's who the SEC wants them to go against, and it's becoming their fiercest rival. I mean, that's a really a big rivalry, and not just in football, but that spreads to other sports too. So you got Arkansas. Most people seem to agree with the Oklahoma thing. You know, when they come into the SEC, kind of reigniting, you know, Tiger Peace Pipe type of thing, Tiger Sooner Peace Pipe trophy on the line, stuff like that. But some of them are just like, you know, Oklahoma's bigger program. And it's not, to some of them, it's not really a rivalry because it's so one-sided for Oklahoma. But you can also do Kentucky. The players it's themselves the last couple of years have been saying how some of them dislike Kentucky more than they dislike Arkansas. Or you can make the thing for South Carolina, you know, the Mayor Cup thing, the Battle of the Columbias type of thing. Some of them like Vanderbilt because, you know, let's be honest, Vanderbilt and Missouri both see that as a winnable game when they face each other. So there's a lot of combinations you could go with. But if I probably had to choose what would make sense, it'd probably be Arkansas, Oklahoma, Vandy or South Carolina. Yeah. I mean, it's really a toss-up for the last one. I know that's four, but either way.
They've beaten South Carolina four straight times. And what they've played Oklahoma, what, like 90-plus times, 92, 93 times, something like that historically. So
yeah.
Gerard Hamilton.
That's like 94 times.
Yeah, that's nuts. Gerard Hamilton, of course, and the 07 championship game, if you go back to Big 12 history there. So, listen, appreciate your time, man. Thanks so much for joining us. We do appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Yep, Gerard Hamilton, PowerMizzou.com. All right, let's add it to the list of things you can call in about here. I think Missouri might be the most underrated team in the conference, and that is because they are picked right now to be 13th out of 14. This is what I'm saying about the SEC this year, guys. If the team picked 13th out of 14th, second to last in the league, has a chance to be 8-4, you are as good as a league as you've ever been. And this is, we're talking about the SEC that has had incredible runs of championship success, dominating the NFL draft, attendance numbers, coaching salaries, recruiting rankings. And now it's better than maybe it's ever been before. Because the 13th place team could be an 8-win team. What are we doing in this conference? It's almost too much. It's almost too much. 855-242-7285. That's one of the best defenses in America at Missouri last year. They almost beat Georgia. They played Georgia better than anybody else. He's hired a new coordinator in Kirby Moore. He's letting go of the offense like Jimbo Fisher is supposed to be doing as well. As long as Brady Cook is healthy at quarterback, that team is very dangerous. 855-242-7285. Shannon in Louisiana. Shannon, welcome to the show. You're on the Feinbaum Show.
Hey, man, what's up?
What's up, dude?
Oh, not a lot. I just had I got a few bones to pick. First off, I'm just going to say some of these callers from Alabama, they mention LSU as a flyby with Joe Burrow. And I do understand that, you know, Coach O wasn't out there out scheming a whole bunch of people that year, but you got to give us credit for having one thing that you're overlooking with your top four this year, the best quarterback in the country. And I think this year LSU has two quarterbacks that would start probably every other school with the exception of USC. Excuse me. With that said, I believe that LSU has definitely got to be in the top four, and I would put them right behind Georgia. And the only reason I'm saying Georgia is because to be the champ, you got to beat the champ, and they've done it twice, so I'll give them that. But LSU should be way, way higher than anyone has them right now.
So I appreciate the call, Shannon. I've got LSU at, like, six. So I've got them right there in the mix. I think LSU is extremely dangerous. They are the most complete offense in the SEC, in my opinion. This is a kind of a weird, vague way to talk about a college football team. But some of this is schedule-related because last year the schedule set up well. Even though they lost the Tennessee game, they got Tennessee at home. They got Bama at home. The Ole Miss game. The Florida State game was in New Orleans, not Orlando. I think they're a little unlucky that some of their tougher games this year are in tougher situations, namely Alabama and Florida State. There's something about, like, the overall not maturity of, like, a player or maturity of a coach, but just, like, the maturity of a program where you have to stack class on top of class on top of class to win national championships in this conference. You know, in the Big 12, no disrespect, but in the Big 12, you can break out with a first-year coach and win your conference because, you know, you've recruited well-ish, like TCU did. But to routinely win the SEC, you got to have four, five, six classes of studs stacked on top of each other. And I don't know if LSU is at that same place yet as Alabama or Georgia. That would be my only, like, are they there yet? And they might be 1 year early, and then next year's the year. But I agree, they're the most complete offense, and that's why Jaden Daniels is, you know, with Denbrock and that offensive line, I have him in the top six. I've seen some rankings with LSU at like 14, 15 in the country, and that's insanity, in my opinion. So I agree with you on that one. More of your calls right here on the Feinbaum Show. Braden Gall in for Paul. This is ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Number one, Georgia. Number two, Michigan. Number three, Alabama. Number four, USC. That is the Athlon Sports preseason top 25, or top four, I should say. And we've given away a magazine to Jerome, who got those four teams correct. I think those are the best four teams in college football. Does it mean they're going to finish there? Who knows? I don't see how you can argue anyone should be above Georgia at number one. Who can beat them in a one-game situation? I think it's a handful of teams, and that is what we are discussing today on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Braden Gall in for Paul here on ESPN Radio, 855-242-7285. We've also touched on the gambling situation in Iowa. People need to know it is very different than the gambling situation in Alabama. If you are under the age of 21 and you place a bet anywhere in the United States, it is illegal and therefore criminal and therefore could be a part of this. If you're a college athlete and you bet in the facility on some sports, that is against the rules, NCAA, and could be a part of this investigation. There, as of right now, there is no impropriety in terms of the outcomes of games in either the Iowa or Iowa State situation, with dozens of athletes being investigated for gambling. It's just regular old college kid stuff. It is not the same as a baseball coach being on the phone while he pulls his pitcher to somebody in Cincinnati placing a bet for thousands of dollars against his team. Very, very different. That is fixing games versus college kids doing college kid things. I just want to point that out. And the sooner we are legal in all 50 states with gambling, the sooner the NCAA has a uniform law, uniform rules, the sooner we can bring all of this above board, bring it into the light, make it a better and safer situation for everybody involved. 855-242-7285. Robert in Alabama, you are first up. Robert, welcome to the Feinbaum Show.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, man, I get a kick out of these Louisiana, these LSU and SEC fans ripping on FSU. Look, FSU had a 24-10 lead in the fourth quarter last year with a team that hadn't been to a bowl in six, seven years. And they act like, well, they beat Alabama. And then they act like, oh, my gosh, man, this is the best team of all time. A better Florida State team is meeting them in Orlando, but LSU is supposed to be top four. This is so funny to me, man. I mean, how the SEC, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just amazing to me how they have a short memory. And matter of fact, look at the history of the series. FSU dominates LSU. LSU is nothing. They are zero when it comes to that series. I think it's like 9-2, 8-2. Anyway, I'm going through like a hurricane, so I'm going to have to let you go. But I'd love to hear your response on that, brother. Bye-bye.
Stay safe, Robert. Here's what I'll say, and I said it early on the show. And this is to I think it was Shannon, right, in Louisiana, that said Jaden Daniels might be the best quarterback in other than Caleb Williams. I don't think Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the game against Florida State. Jordan Travis is, I could argue, the best downfield thrower of the football in the entire country. He has great weapons. He's got Norvell running the system. I agree. Florida State is better this year than they were last year. But look at how they finished the season down the stretch. I have LSU and Florida State basically at 6-7, dead even with each other. Now, I will say this, Robert. I don't care about the series history. Like, I'm going to pick Jordan Travis to pick on an LSU secondary in Orlando on Labor Day night because I think that they can win that matchup, not because of what happened in 1989. So I don't care about the series history. Unless it's like a rivalry game that's played every single year and it's a lot of the same players, and then maybe you can talk about, you know, South Carolina losing four straight to Missouri and that being in their heads. That maybe, but not between two non-conference foes. I think Florida State's going to win because they're better at certain positions right now, and I think both teams are going to be 10-2. They're both very, very good. And I think both of them could beat Georgia in a playoff situation. The question is, can either of them get to that situation? That's my question about Florida State or LSU. JK in Birmingham. JK, what's up?
What's up, brother? You doing all right?
Yeah, man. I'm just talking ball, you know, having fun.
Hey, man, let me talk a little ball with you, and I'm going to give you some of my reasons why I disagree with these top four you got. All right. The only one I really agree with is Georgia, and mainly is because of who they got coming back and that peewee football schedule that they have. All right, Michigan. Michigan has one problem. It's Harbaugh. Harbaugh is the Chris Paul Russell Westbrook, James Harden of college football. If Harbaugh is a part of your team, you're guaranteed not to win a championship. Now, let me skip down to USC. USC is – their whole season is dependent on their quarterback, which he is a great quarterback. But one player, I can't ride him all the way to the playoffs and to a championship. Now, let's get to this number three team, which is only on the pole because of brand name Nick Saban, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to give you some reason why they shouldn't be there. First of all, these are preseason polls, polls that come out before even watching a team play one game. But it takes 9 weeks before the playoff committee comes out with their top four or their poll. So why shouldn't the playoff committee be responsible for these preseason polls? Or just eliminate preseason polls until after, what, week five or six? That way you can get a look at all these teams and gauge them from their performance. That's my opinion on that. But as far as Alabama being number three, and I know it's just an opinion, so I'm going to give you mine. You got a team that had two losses before the Thanksgiving turkey was cooked. Now they went out and get a backup quarterback from Notre Dame. They had three of the first top 12 picks in the NFL draft, but they couldn't win the SEC West. So what is the case for Alabama being number three other than brand name and Nick Saban?
That's a lot.
What do they have coming back?
Well, a lot more than you're giving credit for, JK. I'll say that. I will say this. We got to have preseason polls. How am I going to make some money, dude? Like, we got to sell magazines here. We got to have things to argue about on radio and on Twitter. We can't get rid of preseason polls. Come on now.
These are just our opinions. Nobody's opinion is wrong, but there's some opinions that can be debated. But the question was asked, what team can beat Georgia? The team that doesn't line up with them and try to play smash mouth and right. play to their strength.
Right.
Like most teams do with Alabama. The only teams that are going to beat the Alabamas, the Georgias, and the brand name teams are teams like this year is going to be Texas A&M, that's got a coach that's known for wild offenses and hurry-ups, Tennessee. Those teams can beat the big teams because of their style of offense. It's not the defense anymore. It's these offenses that these guys are coming up with.
I agree, JK. Thank you for the call, JK. I agree with you, but I got to stop you right there because Tennessee's offense can't beat Georgia. In fact, the Josh Heupel-Baylor offense has been stopped almost every single time it's run up against teams with better players. If you don't have better players, they will whip you. That's why Tennessee's floor is so high. Even with Joe Milton and without Hendon Hooker, that offense is so good that it's a proven commodity and it's going to beat most teams it plays against unless they have better players. And right now, on their schedule, Georgia and Alabama have better players, and Texas A&M might have better players. Watch out, boys. Texas A&M at Neyland Stadium, October 14th. I'm calling the upset right now. Now, your comment about A&M is just factually incorrect. Jimbo Fisher runs one of the slowest offenses in all of college football, and it's why he's no longer running the offense. It's why Bobby P is running the offense, and that is why people think A&M can be better. And the reason, if you like A&M, is because they've recruited those horses on the defensive line. Best offensive line they've had in a couple of years. These are the reasons to like A&M. I agree with you. It's the passing attack. It's not the defense. You can't line up against Georgia and play Michigan football. That's the problem. You have to play USC football, Caleb Williams football, Lincoln Riley football. You got to play C.J. Stroud, Ryan Day, Ohio State football. You got to be out in space with dudes. And the guys who have that right now on paper are USC, Ohio State, LSU, Florida State, and Texas. And to your question about Alabama, let's talk Alabama here. And I know we're up against it. But what does Alabama have coming back? One of the best rosters in all of college football. They are better along the offensive line, better at receiver. They are better at a lot of positions on the offense. Their two coaches, the two coordinators, I think they upgraded their two coordinators. So what does Bama have coming back is arguably the best roster in college football not named Georgia or Michigan if they find a quarterback, and that is a huge if. Huge if, I get it, huge if. And it's why I don't think Alabama's on my list of teams that I would pick right now to beat Georgia in a one-game situation because they don't have the quarterback position figured out. And you can't just, like, write that off. The teams that have the guy figured out, I'm down. 855-242-7285. More of your phone calls. Braden Gall in for Paul. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
855-242-7285 on this Wednesday edition of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Georgia, who can beat them? Georgia, Michigan, Bama, USC, our top four. Missouri, most underrated team in the SEC? Question mark. Should gambling be legal in all 50 states to help bring all this above board? Just some of the many things we've discussed today on the show. My name is Braden Gall, and for Paul, you can get to me on Twitter, at Braden Gall, 855-242-7285. A few more minutes for your phone calls here on the program. George in Florida. George, welcome to the Feinbaum Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Listen, excuse me, on your top four, you pretty much gave us Georgia, Michigan right off the bat. Then someone went Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, USC. So I figured Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, but you have Alabama third, USC fourth. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Well, the Georgia three-peat, here's why I think it's not going to happen. I think that Georgia, who do they play? Do they play anybody in non-conference that's going to give them any competition?
This year, the last couple of years they have. They've played very good non-conference. They beat Clemson 2 years ago. They destroyed Oregon last year. This year, Georgia Tech is really the only one on the schedule.
That's what worries me if I were a Georgia fan. You're going to run through your season, I think, until the SEC championship game, and really, I don't see them being challenged that much. Then you're going to run into LSU or Alabama, probably. And then you're going to get into the, obviously, if they get to that point, even if they lose that last game, in the Final Four. And you're going to be, the thing is, you're going to be beating teams that I think are far superior to what you played all year.
I agree, George, and I appreciate the call. I think this is one of the more interesting points about Georgia, and that is if Carson Beck is really good, how do we know how good he is through the course of the regular season? At Auburn is a tough road test about midway through the year. At Tennessee in November is a tough road test at the end of the year. Otherwise, every other game they're going to play against quality teams, not great teams, but quality teams, South Carolina, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Missouri, good teams, not great teams, they're all going to be in Athens. So the question is, do you even need great quarterback play to get to Atlanta? And then the follow-up to that is, does that hurt you? Like, I think Georgia's going to play a lot better teams than like the punchline radio show guy saying, oh, they're playing a bunch of seventh-grade teams on their schedule. Like, no, their schedule's much better than people realize. There are good football teams on that schedule. But Georgia's way better. They should beat all of them. But playing good teams doesn't give you that one thing you need, which is what Missouri gave them last year, which is a fourth quarter drive that you have to have. And even close-ish games, 10-point games, 14-point games against Kentucky, South Carolina, Tennessee, Auburn, Ole Miss, Missouri, all pretty solid football teams. 10-point games don't give you that I'm trailing by three on 3rd and 7 in the fourth quarter and Carson Beck has to make a throw. You don't know that about him. And if you get to Atlanta at 12-0, you still may not know that about him. And that is the question. That's one of the most interesting angles of the Georgia Bulldogs this year, is they may be so good that they are not even challenged in the fourth quarter on a critical drive where we even know if the quarterback is good enough to handle that stress. That is one of the most interesting parts of this entire conversation. 855-242-7285. Joe in Alabama. Joe, what's up?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Points to make. Number one, the only team that's going to beat Georgia is Georgia.
I hear that.
And they're going to take something for granted, and somebody's going to take advantage of them. The second thing is, an Alabama fan, thank you for putting Alabama 5th, 6th, 7th, wherever, because that means that the fan base will not be expecting much. And every time there's a victory, we can celebrate it instead of saying, okay, well, that was supposed to happen. So, you know, hey, those of us that are Alabama fans, we're not talking about the gyms and all these other people. We're just talking about people who've supported the university and have sent children to the university. We just say, look, represent us well, don't embarrass us, and if you win, that's a great thing. If you were predicted to lose, well, you were predicted to lose.
Thank you, Joe. That is about as level-headed, as rational, and as logical an approach to being a college sports fan as I have ever heard in 20 years of doing this. I appreciate it. I don't know if that's, you know, fan is not short for logical and rational. Fan is short for fanatic. And for the record, Athlon Sports, the magazine I work for, we have Alabama at number 3. So not doing much to tamp down expectations for the Tide this year. Sorry, man. Mike in Louisiana. Mike, welcome to the Feinbaum Show. What's up, man?
Hi, Mike in Los Angeles. How are you today?
Oh, Los Angeles. Sorry, could have been lower Alabama, I guess, right? So.
Yeah, it could have been down around Mobile. So before I tell you why Tennessee's got a shot, how did Spencer Rattler end up doing his Heisman year at Oklahoma?
What do you mean Heisman year? Like the year he was the preseason favorite or whatever?
Exactly. How did he end up doing?
I think he was benched about 4 games in. About midway through the Texas game, Caleb Williams came in, and I believe that was all she wrote.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.